Hi, TJ Murphy, Lava Magazine. Thanks for coming back. We have a special treat for you today. And I actually just want to read quickly from the website a bio about a company that if you've been in the sport of triathlon like I have for a long time, and I go back to 1982 myself, but since 1988, Profile Design has been setting the standard in innovation, creating cycling components designed for speed. For nearly three decades, Profile Design has been pushing the limits and making the bold moves to increase cycling performance on the sport's most captivating stages. Cyclists turn to Profile Design for compelling, detail-oriented products engineered for superior handling, aerodynamics, adjustability, and fit. And the website is it's profile-design.com. And I'd like to actually welcome to our show today Tim Kopick. And Tim, you're the CEO of Profile Design, and you're based in Colorado. Is that correct?
I'm a COO.
Chief Operating Officer. Excuse me. Yes. And David Bonin, who is the Director of Research and Development. And David, you're based in New Zealand, I take it.
Yes, in Cambridge, which is roughly in the middle of the North Island, a little bit north of the middle.
That's great. And one of the reasons we're excited to talk to you today is as we've posted on our website and we'll have in our January issue of Lava Magazine, Profile Design swept the aero bar count by two times over the next brand, and which is fascinating alone. We were talking a little bit offline about kind of the background of the company, and you know, like all companies that have been around for a while, there are bumps in the road and changes. And I can certainly, as someone who used to be, I was with Triathlete Magazine for a long time, and you know, you might be a reader of Triathlete Magazine, you get it every month, but you have no idea that there might be a complete overhaul of the staff and bought by another company, whatever. But point being that that you guys have a dominance in one of the more iconic gear categories in triathlon. I mean, I think we all think of, certainly for someone like myself who's been in the sport a long time, you think of aero bars. Obviously, they're part and parcel with time trials and cycling, but in triathlon, it's kind of like an identity thing too. It's anybody who's went from road bars to aero bars can tell the difference in and how you can cut through air if you're not drafting off of anyone. But if you guys could just maybe take a little time to tell me, when you wake up in the morning, what are you trying to do? Like how do you compete in a very, from what I've seen over the years, a very intense, ferocious sort of industry where you've got all these engineer guys, guys like David who are experts in aerodynamics and bike fitting and things like that. And every company, you know, is fighting tooth and nail to become the best. How do you guys do what you do?
Well, David, I guess since I spoke before you that I'll talk first. I think, TJ, it's trying to remain focused on our core brand credo, and that is aerodynamics, fit, and engineering. Profile Design was one of the first companies, if not the first company, to make an adjustable aero bar. So my history with the business is in sales, and the first point that we would mention to anybody willing to listen at trade shows over the years was that we make a one-size-fits-all sizes of individuals aero bar. Mm-hmm. That's our pitch to OEM customers, to bike shops. That's what we want them talking about when it comes to how to sell our product relative to the competition. As much as there are other companies making adjustable aero bars now, we were the first to do it. So that really is the, at least as it relates to our cockpit sales, what is at the core of how we present our business.
That's great. And David, when you're watching a triathlon or in a triathlon, you see, I imagine since you've got it, as I understand, like at least 15 years in a bike fitting experience, along with all these other levels of aerodynamics and bike racing and triathlon racing. what are you seeing out there that that you want to fix? Like when I watch an Ironman, for example, one of the things I see is a lot of age group triathletes that really clearly aren't comfortable in an aero position, and they have to get up a lot. And I think there's something wrong there. Is that something you see and work toward trying to fix? Like, how do you, I mean, you got to merge designing a product with the needs of a triathlete, which might mean being in the, you know, in the aero position as long as possible for the course of, you know, 112 miles or 56 miles. What thoughts go through your head?
Well, for me, doing my own fittings, rule one is that you have to be able to stay in the aero bars for the duration of your event, mm-hmm. apart from if you need to sit up for around a corner or take a drink, whatever. But when you're putting the power down, you need to be in the aero bars. So when I do fits, it's all around how do we get you relaxed into the aero bars so you stay there the whole way. To do that, I need equipment that has fine adjustment in the right places. And one of the battles that I've had with some aero bars is that they might have a big range of adjustment, but they have very large steps in between that. So in order to make a small change in the pad reach, you're having to change a stem. All of the new generation profile bars can achieve a 7.5 mil, so that's roughly a third of an inch step in the pad reach just by moving the pads around. That's really the driver for me, is making sure that the components support bike fit. Now, tri-bikes came about because aero bars had come into being, and it was quickly realized that road bikes and aero bars together didn't give you optimal positions, so tri-bikes were basically developed around using aero bars properly. And the years since then, what we've seen is a lot of brands making a large number of frame sizes to compensate for a lot of the aero bar designs that weren't very adjustable. Mm-hmm. And it's simply not necessary. By focusing the adjustment on the aero bars where it's easy and quite a lot cheaper than a frame, we simplify things for the fitter and give them options to optimize the position without making major component changes.
And so I have a feeling that that you're a proponent of finding a good fitter so that that you can really dial in the right position. And do you have any sort of general advice for triathletes on how to find a good fitter who will set you up correctly on your bars or someone else's bars? Like, what's some advice you might have?
Well, here is where I'm slightly biased, because one of my other hats is as the technical director of LogicFit, which makes 3D bike fitting software and bike finding software. But at this point, our reach in the USA is fairly limited. In terms of...
Is it completely limited, or is there... I teed that up for you. I didn't know that wasn't an intention, but that sounds pretty interesting. Is that something that Americans can access at all?
In a couple of spots, but at the moment, you know, we don't have good penetration through the USA.
Gotcha.
We're much stronger closer to home, so Asia and Australasia. But in terms of general advice for finding a fitter, Facebook is really handy as a way of looking at the pictures that they post of fits that they've done. If those pictures look like people who are comfortable and relaxed, then that's a moderately good sign that you'll be able to achieve the same thing. or if they have a online portfolio in other locations. Obviously, word of mouth. Looking for whether they've done training courses is useful, but certainly not the only thing. Checking the kind of products that they're stocking. If you've got someone who wants to or says that they can do a triathlon fit, but they're not stocking profile design aero bars or don't have a fit bike or they haven't got any hydration products on the wall, etc., then they're probably not as focused on triathlon as they should be.
Mm-hmm.
And without being too arrogant about it, profile design is the leader in aero bars. So at the very least, a triathlon-focused fitter should probably have stock just for the sheer range of options. And that range of options is certainly going to be increasing in the next year.
Yeah, and, you know, the in terms of getting the best fit, and I just, for me, it's one of the interesting areas, like the basics of training are, you know, we think of volume, like, you know, like I recall Peter Reed used to say that, that the bike is the one, it's especially particularly with Ironman length races. And I would say the same is going to apply to the half Ironman or the 70.3, that the bike leg is the opportunity for you to really, make huge improvements in your overall time. I think that's one of the reasons he made that a focus of his training. He trained with the Canadian national team. He did a lot of mountain biking. but within that context, it just, and you kind of alluded to it, that having a good setup, a good cockpit is definitely important. But also, if it's not... You know, there's two parts of this fit thing, like making sure it's fit to your current capabilities, your dimensions, your mobility, do you advocate, like what's the best way? Like if I want to have I'm sorry about this, my question's a long winded here, but if I want to really, like in 2018, when October 2018 comes around or September or whatever, and I really want to knock out a goal in improving my bike leg by a significant amount of time and making aerodynamics part of that, along with making sure that my bike setup is really good, that I've got good components, are there things that I can do outside of just putting in time in the saddle to adapt to a more aggressive fit?
Yes. So the way that I train fitters is to fit the rider as they are at the time, because I have seen situations where a fitter will set someone up for, oh, this is the position that you should be able to ride in given your age or your riding history or whatever, but you're going to have to really work at it or do some core strength or that kind of thing to be able to achieve this. But in that situation, the rider won't be comfortable, therefore they won't ride enough, they won't get as strong as they could be. So we start by fitting the rider for the situation there at the time. I like to test a slightly more, I don't really like the word aggressive, but let's just say aggressive position during the fit and say, this is where you might be able to ride in 3 to 6 months if you work at, one, spending time in the aero bars is the number one way to adapt. And two, if you can do some stretching around your hips, maybe work on your core a bit. Most of all, though, it is about getting time in the aero bars. I have diligent clients who every season will send me a race picture and say, does it look like I can go lower? I say, yep, that looks like you've learned to relax into that position. Therefore, it's now viable that we'll test out going lower. When I do a fit, we've got metrics that show whether we're hitting the range of motion limitations for that rider. and can combine that with frontal area testing to see whether it actually makes them smaller to the wind. So we can be fairly clear on whether we're optimizing their position at the time. But first off, you've just got to have a position that you can stay in the entire time and get out and do the miles. I've had people say, I'm not feeling that comfortable on the bike. It's, well, okay, how much have you been riding since I saw you? Well, a good week is once. Yeah, we're not going to achieve very much adaptation towards being in the aero bars if it's once a week. We've got to have actual focused effort on being in the bars while doing efforts. And this is something I also see with people spending a lot of time on the trainer, that they'll do their efforts on the trainer sitting up because it's hard doing trainer efforts in the aero bars for long periods. But that's an absolutely vital time for practicing your aero position because it's simulating what you'll do on race day. Of most long distance tries are pretty flat. So you need to be able to stay down in that position just in a monotonous state.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's and it's interesting how much indoor training seems to be being done, you know, regardless of the season. The rise of things like Zwift and Lionel Sanders, for example, is outside. He's on his porch apparently, but he does most of his training. And Andy Potts, you know, he loves the indoor trainer. But if you're just sitting up, you know what? That's not as exactly being sport specific. It's going to kill you if you're sitting up and you're on the Queen K. And I, David, or other guys, were you at this year's Hawaii Ironman?
Some was.
I was there, but I unfortunately had to leave to go to Taiwan a Friday afternoon, so I missed race day.
Yeah, that's that's an interesting thing. Like, you know, the bike companies and component companies that we triathletes need and frequent, that there's it's such an international affair regardless. Like, there's I you know, to ask just sort of like a product management production sort of question, how is it just like an ongoing process to you know, you need the right materials and how you're shaping the right materials and wear testing the right materials and coming up with new designs and then making sure that you can use the right materials to make those designs. It just sounds it's a hard process alone, but you've got to do this with manufacturers that are on the other side of the planet and things like that. Is it as hard as I imagine it to be?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
So like any job, some days everything comes together pretty well and you think, wow, that project went smoothly and we're pleased with it. And other times you spend 4 months of back and forth on changing the shape and trimming the material to get a stem down to a reasonable weight where it will actually be viable in the market without losing the aim of that product or compromising on the safety elements. So
sure.
Yeah. Some days it's easy and some days it's, I think I just really need to ride my bike and clear my head.
Well, as far as 2018 and beyond, what do you guys, what's in your minds to, kind of, you know, retain your leadership position in this market? Business like athletics, like anything, you know, you can't let up. You let up and somebody's gonna come flying by you. What are you excited about these days about in terms of the future of profile design?
Well, Tim can probably tell you that I don't let up on trying to get the things done that I want. The big focus for the last little while and with the products that you'll see coming from Profile in the near future has been on reducing the range because it had got to the point where I think there are 27 aero bars on the product page.
Yeah.
Compared to most of our competitors having a couple. So we thought maybe that was a bit excessive. So we're going to trim down the range in terms of overall number of products, but there will be a greater adjustment range and more options with that trimmed range.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just being more efficient in terms of the general product. And then we've got some quite exciting high-end products that we're working on, which of course I can't say anything further about, but sure. Those are the things that get me excited.
Yeah.
For me, at high school in the mid-90s, I was fascinated with aero bars, and actually at the time thought that would be cool to work for Profile Design. It took me nearly 20 years to get there, but you know, plugged away. It's the secret to endurance sport. You just keep plugging away.
That's right.
And so, yeah, there's lots of things in the vision for how we're going to make sure that Profile is known as being the aero bar solution, all the way from that first clip-on that you throw onto a road bike to do a sprint triathlon or a tri-tri, that, as we call them here, through to when you're setting up your top-level cockpit for going as fast as you can in an Ironman.
Is there a kind of a timeline that we can keep in mind for when we will know about those products? Are they scheduled for 2018?
There are some things that are definitely happening in the first one or two quarters of 2018 that will be useful to a wide range of athletes, and then some more specialized products that might not be announced until very late in the year, or maybe 2019. Remains to be seen. We've got some engineering challenges with some of these projects because we're trying to push the boundaries.
Yeah,
which means that the time frame is a bit of a open question.
Well, it's fun stuff, and it's and I remember talking once with a Zip engineer. We were talking about a time trial that just happened. This is years ago, so I can't remember the specifics, but it was Tour de France, and he told me, basically, he did the math for me on what one of the racers was used a bike bottle, a round bike bottle rather than an aero bike bottle, and he knew it what it cost the guy, and he knew it cost them what sort of placement in that time trial, and it's you just these finer details are so fun to kind of like to play with and to yield results, and I imagine that's been kind of a driving thing for you, David. Like you must love that kind of stuff.
That would be fair to say that, yes. My basic details are probably where most people would think that fine details start. I have a lot of spreadsheets with a lot of numbers so that I can model all of this sort of thing and understand how we can make riders faster.
Yeah.
Trying to get the full picture. Not all of which applies to what we're trying to do with aero bars and wheels at Profile Design.
Sure.
But, you know, making sure you can carry enough hydration is a pretty key part of performance. So that's why Profile is also very strong in the hydration category. And we are looking at new products for that will step on from what we've done before.
Well, that's great. Well, Tim, David, thank you so much for chatting with us today. Congratulations on the performance in Kona. And sounds like we've got some fun stuff to look forward to in the future coming from you as usual. All the best in, you know, it's funny. I mean, it's early November, but it's like the off season's kind of started, at least here. I guess not so much in Australia and New Zealand, obviously, but it's kind of fun to just start thinking about ways to improve everything in 2018, at least for Americans. And it's a great chance to have a talk with you guys to hear a little bit about how you guys do what you do.
One of my coached athletes who was a semi-professional triathlete in the past is focusing on cycling now and has put on 50 watts to his threshold over our winter and just raced at the highest level cycling event we've got in New Zealand. So, you know, for you guys who are heading into the off season, as it's sometimes called, that's the best chance for improving yourself, because you don't have the distraction of races, and even at 40, still the chance of becoming much stronger than you've been in the past.
You know, and to give a bit of an aside, but one of the great pieces of triathlon history for us here in the States, you know, is Scott Molina and the Big Four, Mark Allen, Dave Scott, all those guys. But Mark Allen, once I interviewed him about, you know, how he kind of, we're just talking about his transition from 1988 to 89 when he won his first Hawaii Ironman. He had been a very successful triathlete in just about every other type of race at the time, especially in Nice. But, you know, what helped him beat Dave Scott? And I believe I'm recalling our interview correctly, but he had told me that it was going to New Zealand for the winter and doing, you know, epic bike rides with Scott Molina and kind of putting in that very serious off-season training program. And he said that that's what that gave him the extra level he needed to kind of, you know, win that epic race in 89 and then go on to win six Ironmans total, or Ironman World Championships total. So to your point, I guess that'd be the dream to go spend our winter in New Zealand and just practice being in the air position as much as possible for, you know, months.
Well, if you can stay in the air position on our roads, we are being bounced all the way along with the awesome road surfaces that we have, then you'll find it easy when you go back elsewhere.
Great. Well, thanks so much for chatting, guys. Congratulations, and hope to check in with you again soon.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you, TJ. Thanks a lot, Lava Magazine.
Thanks very much.